Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Your team. Adjective. Used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice. An individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team. The new fragrance by Miu Miu. Defined by you.
I'm Scott Hansen, host of NFL Red Zone. Lowe's knows Sundays are for football. That's why we're here to help you get your next DIY project done, even when the clock isn't on your side. Whether that's a new Filtrete filter or Bosch and Kobalt power tools, Lowe's has everything you need to feel like the MVP of DIY. So get it done and earn your Sunday. Shop now, in-store, and online. Lowe's, official partner of the NFL.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Buddy, Tim Kawakama here, 49ers Plus Minus, the late week edition with my co-host, Matt Barros of The Athletic. Matt Barros, who did an hour-long injury report yesterday. You were just reading.
Man.
It was on and on. I go, how long is this going to go? Like 25, at least 25 minutes, maybe more, because the injury report has become the 49ers report, basically, right? The entire news is who's practicing and who's not and who's going to play and who's not. And one thing I've been noting, like, it's been pretty clear. Like, there's no hidden stuff here. If they're practicing on Wednesday and Thursday, they're playing on Sunday. If they're not practicing on Wednesday and Thursday, they're not playing. If they're limited on one of the days, or you'll kind of look at, are they limited on Wednesday, then they full on Thursday? You have to look at all these, like, patterns within this, you know, interesting formula. But the latest is that Mac Jones was a full participant in this practice today, Thursday, and Brock Purdy was limited. My always Thursday evening question to you is, which quarterback spoke to the media today?
Mac Jones, and it was only Mac Jones. And that's the second week in a row. The difference this week is that, remember, last week Mac Jones was at the Thursday practice but didn't throw the football at the Thursday practice. Today he was throwing the football, and he practiced in full. So that indicates that oblique injury that was problematic needed a pain numbing injection before the Buccaneers game is no longer bothering him, or at least not bothering him, nearly as much. So that should bode well for Sunday. I'm not saying that Jones was off against the Buccaneers because of it. He still, you know, managed a huge number of passing yards. But you could tell that he wasn't comfortable at all times, especially towards the end of the game. And maybe that's when the pain numbing shot starts to wear off. But so I think it's going to be another game where he starts. And I think the question now is whether Brock Purdy is in uniform and is sort of available in any capacity. And then I think we're probably looking at Brock Purdy as a possibility the following week when they play the D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans.
Just makes sense, right? You know, if he aggravated the toe, which seems to have happened when he came back for that one game against Jacksonville, don't make it worse. Don't press it. This game probably is not going to be for the number one seed. Probably isn't going to determine whether they have home field advantage in the playoffs. Like, who knows? But the urgency, I think, isn't 100,000% after the Fred Warner injury. And, you know, you're going to want Brock Purdy feeling 100, you know, close to 100% anyway by the time he plays. You don't want this to be lingering. Why push it? I would say don't even play him. If he's not going to start, don't even dress him. Don't even risk that. Adrian Martinez has been there for several games now. Why not just have him be the backup? It just makes sense to me. You know, like, just it feels like, you know, they're not even, if Purdy didn't talk today, which they've kind of done in the past, I don't think there's even a shot where they're thinking, hey, you know what, let's even fool them. Let's have them think it's Brock Purdy. You know, it's going to be Mac Jones, which is fine. And they've played okay with that. By the way, general big picture, they play the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday night. I think the Falcons are beatable. You know, Sunday, they play Monday night, Buffalo Bills, emotional victory. You know, they ran the ball a lot. They're a really talented running team, but that's physical. It's a cross-country flight. I know it's for a Sunday night game, but this is a short week. I think they're there to be beaten. I think the 49ers can win this game. They just got to play it, you know, not turn it over, play crisp football, maybe run the ball a little bit, Barrows. I think this game is there for them.
Yeah, they definitely need to run the ball better, and I think they'll have an opportunity against the Falcons. They're not as good a run defense as the 49ers have been facing. They also probably are going to have George Kittle, and I think that's a big deal. Now, whether we can expect Kittle to be at peak performance after, you know, missing the last, what, six games practically, I don't know, but he looks good to me. I mean, it looks like George Kittle out there, same energy, same kind of jokiness, just kind of bringing a vibe to the team that, frankly, they could use right now, given the players that they've lost. So that'll be interesting. And then the other really interesting dynamic is, you know, Bijan Robinson versus Tatum Bethune. I mean, this is the Tatum Bethune-led defense now. I know that he's not the emotional leader of the team like Fred Warner was, but he's the guy that's calling the plays. He's the guy in the middle of that defense. That's what the middle linebacker of the 49ers does. I think that there's a quiet confidence that the 49ers, from the 49ers, that Bethune can handle the job. They know he's not going to be Fred Warner. But they like him, and he's a tough, gritty player. He's not a fast guy. He's not a guy who's really good in coverage, but he is good against the run. He's sort of like a traditional inside linebacker. He's good at rooting out the ball carrier at the line of scrimmage. So I think it'll be an interesting showcase for him. He certainly doesn't get to dip his toe into the water by drawing the Falcons in the number one rushing attack in the league right now. The Falcons with Bijan Robinson and Charlie Werner, who all of a sudden has become like one of the greatest pass blocking tight ends in the league. I thought it was interesting today that Robert Saleh kind of likened Werner to Kyle Juszczyk, and because he's kind of used all over the formation in the backfield quite a bit. They paid a lot of money for him in free agency a couple of years ago. And frankly, I don't think the 49ers have been able to kind of find his replacement. I know that they wanted to and Luke Farrell, not exactly the same type of blocker. And George Kittle said, you know, that's part of the reason why this run offense is struggling, because everybody's sort of getting used to one another. And I think Farrell is part of that group. So, yeah, the run games of both teams are going to be the key to this game. And like I said, it'll be a really interesting litmus test for this new defense, which keeps getting younger, by the way.
Yep.
I looked it up. Like, the 15 youngest guys on the 49ers roster, 10 of them either are starters or have a big role on this team. And most of those guys are on the defensive side. I mean, this is a defense composed of guys who are 25 and younger for the most part. The exceptions are Jordan Elliott, who's 27, and Clea Davis, who's 27, and I guess Bryce Huff. But everyone else is under 25, and yeah. Some of them are 23. So it's an extremely young, inexperienced defense. And they get a tough draw their first time together.
Yeah, I think they like Bethune. I think they just plopped him in there as the backup for Fred Warner. There's been other years where they weren't 100% sure about that backup middle linebacker, Mike linebacker. You know, they had Fred Warner, so it really hasn't been that big an issue. But there has been times where like, is this the guy or is that the guy? I don't know. They do like Bethune. We'll see. He's had a few years. But they've really settled in on him. So I think there's some confidence that he'll at least be solid as the middle linebacker. I think this is a big move for D Winters. You know, obviously weak side, you're not going to take over Fred Warner. But, you know, be that other guy, that Dre Greenlaw. Like, you know, sometimes it feels like Greenlaw and Fred were like competing to get to the ball carrier faster. And be that guy, lead the way. You just make sure that there's nobody in front of you going, chasing down that running back. They're going to need it. There's Tyson Allgeier, right? There's another running back who does a lot of things for the Falcons.
Tyler, yeah.
They do stuff. And they're going to need people who can get to them and tackle them. They're going to need the defensive line to make sure they eat up the tackle, eat up the blockers. Very big test. I think they can do it, though. I mean, this feels like one of those rally the wagons, get everybody, you know, feeling like the season isn't going away. They're still 4-2. There's still some confidence. I'm just feeling it. I just want to say it right here. I feel like this is going to be a good 49er game. Well, maybe they look terrible, but prime time. They love the Sunday nights. You know that, Barros. They love Sunday nights. They played some really good games on Sunday nights, and obviously with a healthier roster. But I think the pieces are there. But we'll see if Bethune can do it, if Winters can do it. What they're doing at safety is I still don't know. Quite sure what they're doing other than Mustafa is clearly head and shoulders over the rest. Anybody else on defense you're looking to? You know who else needs to play well to make sure they stop that run? Mykel Williams, I think, for sure would be one of them.
Yeah. I mean, I want to talk about Mustafa. First of all, we're on the subject of Bethune. You'll like this story. Remember when we went out to Miami to cover the Super Bowl in 2020? That was when we found out about Kobe Bryant. Tim and I were in the same Uber when all of that was going down. It was some interesting days. But one of the stories that I did that got totally, you know, avalanched in the whole cascade of stories that we do before the Super Bowl is I drove out to Pembroke Pines, which is near the Dolphin Stadium, and which is where Nick Bosa played youth football. And it's kind of famous for youth football, like, you know, Patrick Surtain and all sorts of guys who eventually made it to the NFL, got their start playing in this league. And one of the men that I talked to was the head coach. It was Nick Bosa's first ever head coach when Nick Bosa was 7 years old. And this guy's name was Greg Bethune. And I got tons of quotes from Greg Bethune into the story. And Greg Bethune is so close to the Bosa family that Greg Bethune was invited to the draft. And he was in the green room when Nick Bosa was drafted number two overall. Greg Bethune is, probably figured it out by now, the dad of Tatum Bethune.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that. I certainly didn't know that at the time. And I didn't know that when the 49ers drafted Tatum Bethune in the seventh round. I guess my point is that, you know, there's a deep football background with him, you know.
So how did you learn it? When did you learn it?
I learned it listening to John Lynch this morning on KNBR, and he mentioned it, and I went back and reread that story that I wrote, and I'm like, oh God, this guy, Greg Bethune, I quoted at least six times. And so today I went up to, and there's a photo of it, a team photo where, you know, there's a little boy who's circled, and that's Nick Bosa. Well, in the very back row, there's a man on the far right, and that's Greg Bethune. And I went to Tatum. I said, is one of these guys your dad? And he's like, yeah, that's him right there. So, I mean, I can't believe that this hadn't come up until now. I can't believe that Nick Bosa, a guy we talked to once a week, didn't, hey, by the way, yeah, my teammate's dad, he's like, he's one of the people that's closest to my family. Mm-hmm. But I think that's interesting. And it just kind of shows that, you know, to be a middle linebacker, you have to be tough and all the physical skills that you associate with middle linebacker, tenacious, great tackler. You have to be a student of the game, too. You have to be a communicator. It's your job to get everybody lined up and to kind of sniff out what the offense is doing. And Tatum Bethune comes from, you know, a family that did that for a living. I think that that's a good step in the right direction. Now, again, he's not going to be Fred Warner, but I think, like I said, there's quiet confidence that he's going to be able to get the job done.
Well, so, you know, you get
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of people, and I understand, they're saying, hey, you know, can they get Nick Martin on the field? Can he be the backup middle linebacker? Can he do that? And it's like, it's just not the way the 49ers do it. And most teams, the Mike linebacker is like the quarterback, and you just don't go, hey, that running back looks like he could throw a little bit. So our quarterback got hurt. Let's have the running back try it. You have to be trained in the position. You have the green dot. You're getting the signals. You have to try to change it up if things go wrong. Like we saw maybe some problems when Warner got hurt on Sunday. And that was Tatum Bethune, but you know, obviously thrown in the middle of it. You have to be thinking like that. If you don't think like that, you can't just say, you know what, now you're going to think like that. You have to be processing it, you know, the whole season. You have to go through camp. You have to go through OTAs. They're just not going to do it. And, you know, maybe you can get trained on it later, but it's not happening for Nick Martin this season. We could see him getting in there as Bethune's replacement on special teams. That's how you get in there. And that's maybe, you know, like Dre Greenlaw, his first big splashes were on special teams as a rookie. You show what you have as a tackler. You show that you can get to the ball, and maybe that gets you some time as a strong side linebacker. And maybe if you're great in those snaps, which are not many in a game, you move your way into the pecking order on the weak side if there's an injury or if there's some kind of thing that you have to fill in there for. So let's just say Nick Martin's not going to be the Mike linebacker this season.
No.
There's a very specific reason for it.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
The strong side linebacker in this upcoming game is going to be on the field quite a bit. And that's probably going to be Luke Gifford. But, I mean, if the 49ers are finding themselves, you know, outpaced to the sideline, then, you know, Bethune is not the greatest runner in the world. I mean, I think this could be an opportunity to put Nick Martin into that strong side role because he is a fast guy, because he does have some electricity to him. And I think that they trust Luke Gifford. He's the floor. You have to reach that if you're Nick Martin. But I think Nick Martin, it's obvious. His potential is way higher than what they can get from Luke Gifford at this point. So, I mean, this would be, if you're going to kind of break out the, you know, the new look 49ers, the super young 49ers, this would be a good week to do it.
You asked me about Bethune winners and Martin as your linebackers could be really interesting to watch.
Three babies. The triplets.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, and Azeez Al-Shaair are all the same age. And they came up together. Warner was a rookie in 18 and the other two were rookies in 19. And they got really tight. And for a while they were a really, really good three-man linebacking core. And now each of them is his own guy in different cities, is the guy in a different NFL city. So it's been done before. They went to the Super Bowl before with it. You know, Fred Warner, though, was special right out of the chute as the middle linebacker in 18. So, but there is precedent there. You asked about, all right, who else needs to step up? And I think just from a personality or a disposition standpoint, a guy who can be a leader, who has the elements of being a leader, is Malik Mustafa. Hmm. I think he's very smart. You know, the 49ers obviously think highly of him because he went from zero to basically starter. You know, he's going to be the starter moving ahead after being injured for all of the offseason. So I think that that's a possibility. I mean, if you're looking for guys who can possibly do it, you know, I don't think that D. Winters just has the disposition for it. And a lot of guys on the D line are young. But I would say that Mustafa has the potential to be sort of a guy that can rally a team, similar to what, you know, Talanoa Hufanga did in previous seasons. He's got that ability. Again, this would be a great week for that to show up when you're playing Bijan Robinson.
You got nominees for who's going to replace Fred Warner in the team huddle breakdowns? I have my two guesses, but and they're not super surprising. But
yeah, my guesses would be George Kittle as one, and then maybe Trent Williams as another. I don't know. It'll be fun to watch that. And as you know, there are several moments during the kind of pregame ritual where these guys get together, and Fred is always in the middle of it. They do that sort of
early warm-ups kind of
improv routine, and Warner's part of that. So I think we'll get an early look there, and then the real pregame kind of speech as they all come out of the tunnel.
Yeah, Kittle for sure. I think he's done it in the past, right? He's done it kind of as a combo. Maybe Sherman. I mean, Richard would do it, and sometimes Kittle. I think they'd love it for Lenore. I think Lenore is somebody who's being nudged out there to do that. I don't know if he's quite ready to do all of them, but I could see Kittle and Lenore, those two guys, with Trent right there beside them, kind of, and maybe as an emotional support. But that's what would be my guess. We shall see. And those, you know, Fred Warner's made it a very important role. Like, they really count on the energy they get from him. You know, one, two, three, four times a game, we're not going to see all of them, but we see two of them. I am going to be very curious to see who steps into that role. Yeah, offensively, you know what I'm going to call it? The Jordan Watkins week. A lot of things are kind of shaping into where this guy might actually, I've been campaigning for him to go on injured reserve. They might need him. Like, what MVS doesn't practice today. So that's kind of their third wide out if you kind of count him down. We're assuming Pearsall is not going to play, which I think seems very clear. So you have Juwan Jennings, who is also limited. You have Kendrick Bourne. I don't know who the third receiver would be right now. It might be Jordan Watkins. You have Sky Moore. You have MVS, who didn't practice, might not play. They're running out of people for a guy, Jordan Watkins, who has been on the active roster this whole time, as I've noted, and has not been activated, still has listed as limited with a calf. But if you're getting shaky about Sky Moore in some other ways, I think Jordan Watkins might play. I think he might actually play a lot, you know, a lot meaning 20 snaps, not just five snaps. You get a sense of that. You get him, you seeing him at all, and, you know, in the early parts of practice that the media is allowed to watch, like looking like he's moving towards some sort of productive role.
Yeah. I mean, there are not many wide receivers out there all the time. So he has been, you know, practicing a lot. On Wednesday, he was the only punt returner because Sky Moore is also dealing with an ankle injury. He was back on Thursday. So I think that he's going to be back in the mix. He'd be asking a lot to put a rookie in his first ever NFL game on Sunday night. But, you know, it's possible. I talked to Watkins in the locker room. He's a great guy to talk to. He said that his body feels great. He took longer this time to come back from the calf than he did the high ankle sprain, because maybe he tried to come back too soon from it. So he's in a good place confidence wise. And, you know, frankly, especially if they don't have MVS, this is not a fast unit. Juwan Jennings does not look 100%, and he's never been a fast guy to begin with. Kendrick Bourne has never been a fast guy to begin with, although I got to say he has had a lot of explosive plays for this team. But, you know, I wrote about this on Monday. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Bourne. Somebody recorded the fastest time this year for a 49ers ball carrier. I think it was Bourne. And it was something like 19.5 miles per hour, which is a fast speed. But as far as fastest ball carriers, that ranks in like the mid 150s this year around the league. Bottom line being, this team doesn't have a lot of speed at the wideout position. And Jordan Watkins ran a 4.37. He caught a lot of deep balls in the spring, a little bit fewer in the summer, had a big catch in the preseason game against the Broncos, and then quickly got hurt in that game. But to your point, you know, they don't have a lot of options. They have to tap him at this point. But he does kind of fills two needs, punt returner and fast guy, which they don't have either of them right now. So I do think that he could get in there I think that we just talked about Nick Martin getting in. I think probably both guys see their first snaps, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams against the Falcons.
And dare I bring up Jordan James? Could he possibly be active this week?
There are no injuries at running back. It's the one spot on the team that they're pretty solid at. I was looking at it. You can sometimes tell by the pecking order when these guys are up in practice. The running backs will practice by themselves and they'll take turns running. It doesn't seem like there's a change in the pecking order, although we both have noted that Grendo was off of kick return duty. And they put speed demon Brian Robinson back there.
who got a decent return.
31-yard return, yeah. Which is, for the 49ers, is excellent.
Yeah, it's
the rest of the league, that sucks. But for the 49ers, that is primo.
If it's a return against the 49ers, it's like the worst one of the year.
Exactly.
The 49ers, it's the greatest one of the year.
Yeah. Kick coverage and kick return, for some reason, the 49ers have been just putrid at both of them since 2017. I don't think that there's going to be a change, but I mean, yeah, at one point Shanahan said that, you know, they're looking at Jordan James as the number two guy.
Yep.
And then he got hurt. Grendo got hurt. That's when they pulled the trigger for Brian Robinson. But if Jordan James can sort of do the same trick that Jordan Watkins has pulled, which is kind of maintain the confidence of the coaching staff while being a rookie and while being injured, which is like a very difficult juggling act to do. Yeah, then he can get some snaps. But I say he's the seldom seen rookie that's least likely to.
That would be something. That bears that we would have to do a whole show on just the two.
Emergency pod.
During the game, we'll have to turn to Jordan James and Jordan Watkins are playing, ladies and gentlemen. That would be.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Highlight for me, I would be very curious to see if that happens. Maybe not this week for Jordan James, but Jordan Watkins, man, I'm calling it. This guy's going to play some. If he doesn't, what the hell has he been on the active roster the whole time? The whole point was so you had him available for something like this, and now they're going to need him. So I'm highlight special things, Barrows. I look at very unique things in football games. Anything else we got? Offensive line, there's certainly been some thoughts about Dominic Pooney, but I saw that he practiced today. Was it full practice?
Not full practice, okay. But he was out there. I was thinking that it might be another rookie, Drew Moss, starting at right guard, but I think Pooney's going to hold on to that. But it just underscores what we've all been seeing, which is that Dominic Pooney has been struggling at times, not as good as he was last year. It's on the ground a lot.
Yeah.
And not just against Vita Vea. This is previous games too.
The safety, right?
As the great Tim Kawakami once told me, it's never great when you see a player fall down.
Yeah.
And Pooney's been on the ground quite a bit. And I think that is absolutely attributable to a knee injury that he's toughed it out through, and kudos to him for doing it and not complaining about it, not taking himself out, but it's affecting him. And I don't know whether he can, like last year with Fred Warner and the ankle injury, you get an injury and you play every week and that injury just never goes away and it bothers you for a full season. So this is a team that, wow, could use its bye right now, and instead it has the last bye possible. So if they can hold out until what, December 6th or whenever that bye is,
yeah, no problem, no problem.
They'll be good.
Just wait till there's 18 games, Barrows. It'll be just wonderful charting all these injuries every single week. Yeah, okay. I mean, just, you know, you don't have to ask this answer this specifically, but it is kind of the existential question. I mean, they are 4-2. They have lost a ton of players to injury. They still are waiting for important guys to come back. Brandon Ayuk, other players. You still play this out like this is every game is a playoff in a situation, Barrows? Do you start backing off at all? I guess you can't really at 4-2, but I would understand, you know, that goes into the trade deadline discussion. That goes into other things. How quickly do you try to push Purdy back in there? Like, do you feel any easing off the gas pedal, which I think I know the answer to by them? And two, do you sense that could be coming, whether it's now or next week or the week after?
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers of Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
So good, so good, so good.
Just in, thousands of winter arrivals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 70% on coats, slippers, and cashmere from Kate Spade, New York, Vince, UGG, Levi's, and more.
Check out these boots.
They've got the best gifts.
My holiday shopping hack? Join the Nordy Club.
Get an extra 5% off every Rack purchase with your Nordstrom credit card. Plus, buy it online and pick it up in-store the same day for free. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you Rack.
I mean, I'm in the camp that I feel like that defensive line is so deficient. It's so glaring right now that they have to do something there.
Yeah.
Because it we're only through six games and they're just not getting any push with four rushers. Sam Okwuonu is being treated as a starter. He went through Sunday's game and came out with no pass rush stat. And no run game stat. No, so no tackles, no pressures, no nothing. You can't. How do you exist like that? I just can't see that happening for another 11 games.
Hey, by the way, you know who's going to be in the ballpark on Sunday?
Who's that?
Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd. Yeah. he missed practice on Wednesday.
I saw that.
It was with an illness. And of course, being Leonard Floyd, he was back on Thursday. So Leonard Floyd does not miss games, which was great reason to get rid of a guy.
Eight sacks a year. Another great reason to get rid of a guy. Dependable, reliable. Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
They need to trade for a Leonard Floyd like guy.
Oh, gee, God, how could you ever get one? How would you ever have one? Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, even if you're not thinking Super Bowl, if you're thinking this guy could help you this year and next year, to paraphrase Shanahan, you're not just going to get a rental, but somebody who 26 years old can get you five sacks, can play that position, even if he's not exactly a starter, and maybe cost you a fifth round pick. I don't think I'd give up any 1, 2, 3, or 4, but you can get guys for a fifth round pick, or you flip a fourth for a fifth, that kind of thing. You know, that we've talked about, Arden Key level, that kind of player. they're going to be available. These teams are sinking fast on the bad teams. I don't know that a Trey Hendrickson is the way it would go. I did see somebody say, oh, yeah, he's somebody they could really look at. Maybe it was Diana Russina, which, of course, I agree with. Which I've been writing for several weeks. I don't know that they'd pay that price now. But we both know and have been saying he is their kind of player. He is someone who fits into what they do perfectly. I think maybe the decision, just the tone of what Shanahan's talking and the tone of what John Lynch on KBR, to me, feels like they've kind of made a decision that it would be a rental if they got Hendrickson and they're not wanting to pay a second or third round pick for a rental. Maybe they've already decided they can't pay $30 million for another pass rusher. That does fit with the model that they've been in since last March. But I think it would be a really good player to have for $30 million a year. This is what you want. You want really good players if you're going to take a run at the Super Bowl. But I get it. Finances are what they are. Sometimes the football guys are not making these decisions, and maybe they can plug that money in at other spots, and maybe they don't want to give up a second-round pick because maybe that's where they get their tackle. Maybe they, at some point they're going to grab the tackle, Barros, possibly. I don't know about that. Hey, did you see Jalen Moore the other night stepping in at left tackle?
I did not. Did he do well?
He did very well. Justin Simmons, personally or sick or something, he couldn't play. So they just plugged him, Jalen Moore, right in there and played very – what does he always do? He just plugs right in and then you don't notice him because he's playing very solid football. I think he's playing good enough that they would try to get him to start, but – he's also a great luxury to have. I guess Simmons is out again possibly this week, so maybe they just keep Jalen Moore in there. But some of these 49er backups that they got rid of, now Moore was very expensive. They were not paying $15 million for a tackle, even though I think they certainly – it makes sense to do that. Jordan Mason playing pretty good. Leonard Floyd, as always saw, like there's some guys out there who are solid. Javon Hargrave has been at least playing. I don't know how great he's been, but – I'm keeping track of those players, Barros, as you know. I keep track of those guys. How about our guy, Jake Moody, though? There's the guy.
You're bearing the lead here.
Winning ball player. That's what he is. Good for him. He's a good guy. That block was not good. One of the makes was kind of those squibby ones, but he still made it.
The last one was. It was one where it just shoots off to the right and then takes a hard left.
That's him. His ball moves. Like he's got these weird ball flights. Which does make it more problematic. I think it does raise the level of accuracy you have to be at because your ball's moving. If you're just off a little with the angle, the ball just flies away. But good for him. I don't think 49er fans are hating the position they're in right now, obviously with Eddie Pinero, but good for this guy. It was tough for him. It was tough. He didn't ask to be drafted in the third round. It just happened that way. That's what the 49ers did, and he was not up to it. But hopefully he's showing something. I don't think he's going to win the job in Chicago, but maybe. But he's showing something to other people in the league. You can always use a kicker. He could be one of those guys that Barros has written about. These highly touted guys, it takes them a job or two to really stick in the league.
Yeah.
And now Moody's on job number two. And maybe this is when he sticks. Maybe it's the next one. But good for him. I really didn't want to see him miss that one. I would feel terrible for the guy if he misses two field goals in his emergency return to the league. It would have been, and one of them for the game, it would have been really bad.
An ex-49er blocked his kick.
That's true.
Javon Kinlaw, and then the Bears win sinks Deebo Samuel. The same week that the 49ers lose to the Buccaneers in Tampa, which was the site of their encounter last year.
There's a lot of players who've been on the team last 2 years are on other teams right now.
And it's not just Leonard Floyd. It's Charlie Warner, who all of a sudden is like the greatest blocker in the world. Ray McLeod is on the Falcons too. So there's going to be a couple of guys coming in. But yeah, it's going to be. I think it's going to be an interesting game for sure. Jeff Ulbrich is the defensive coordinator and that's somebody that the 49ers were interested in. He's got a long background with Saleh, and he's got a long background with Kyle Shanahan. So a lot of intermingling in this game.
And two great running backs. I expect them both to get some – I expect McCaffrey to get some yards. He's due for a breakout. He's due for at least a 120-yard run. It's unbelievable he's gone all season without one. I think he might pop one. I think he might get a 60-yard touchdown, something in there. I just think it's set up for this. I think Bijan is great, obviously. I think he's going to be hell on the 49ers. He'll get yards. These guys can both catch out of the backfield. It will be, I think, kind of similar teams. I think similar at this point with the 49ers, as wounded as they are, similarly positioned, especially with Kittle back. Maybe those Falcons receivers are a little more talented right now. Drake London is really good, and they got some other guys. The 49ers missing Pearsall and Ayuk. But I just think there's some similarities. I don't think the Falcons are overwhelmingly talented. They lost 30-0 to the Carolina Panthers, Barrows. So I can't raise them up too far. But they beat the Bills. I just think this is one of more fascinating games, I think. I really do. I mean, obviously the Rams game was incredibly fascinating to watch. I was not fascinated with that going into it. Incorrectly, clearly. I just didn't think the 49ers had it, that the talent, you know, the healthy players to play the Rams straight up, and they did, and they beat them. It was fantastic for them. But this one, I just kind of like, let's just see, because it's kind of two teams that feel at this moment in time about level with each other. And let's see, you know, with some great players, some, you know, wounded areas, Let's see who figures it out. And I think 49ers are going to figure it out tonight on Sunday.
It's interesting because the Falcons don't have, you know, a great defensive front, you know, despite having Leonard Floyd in there. So Jeff Ulbrich has been basically manufacturing their pass rush with a lot of blitzes. And that's exactly what the 49ers would have to do. It's not in their DNA to do that. They did a little bit more practicing of that in the spring and summer. But now, like I said, you've got all these 23 and 24-year-olds. You know, blitzing takes cohesion. It takes practice. It's going to be tough for them to be a big blitzing team. I know that they like to send Upton Stout from the slot. He's good at it. Dee Winters should be good at it because he's so fast. But it's going to be harder to do with a young team. So that, again, you know, this goes to the trade deadline. This goes to a lot of things, but it'll be a good test of everyone. I think these next few games are going to be a really good test of Robert Saleh.
Just think, if they find a way to win this game, they're 5-2, Barrows. You know, it's just like, we're all like, okay, that's it. The season, tone it down, take the foot off the pedal, start resting, whatever we're saying, and they could be 5-2 and have a game at Houston, which would not be a lose, you know, I would say a theoretically winnable game, and then a win at a game at the Giants. Hate that turf, but theoretically winnable game. I mean, they could just play solid football and be 6-3, 7-2. I do not predict 7-2, but it is possible. So while I'm one of the people saying, okay, maybe the urgency's backed off a little bit, it is possible. And then you get Pearsall back in there at some point. And then, you know, Purdy, presumably in a week. This isn't a superpower team. We've seen them when they've been great. But it's a tough team, hanging in their team. Let's see how far they can take this. Now, there's some tougher games ahead of that, but they've already won their toughest game on the schedule so far. And that's at the Rams. So, and that was without a bunch of guys. They did have Fred Warner, but that's without a bunch of other guys. So without Kittle, without all these guys. So I'm curious. I'm curious about how this will go. It's an interesting way for them to play it. What do they do if they get to the trade down line? They're 7-2. I mean, it's just a lot of interesting things. I think they're realistic. I think everyone is realistic about this, but you pocket those early wins, it does change the dynamics. The wins that they did not put in their pocket last year. So they get to this, you know, whatever the break at 4-5 or whatever they were. Very different than if you get to it at 6-3, 7-2. So with that incredible bout of optimism, I guess we can close.
Who am I talking to? Yeah.
Amazing.
Who's this guy?
We'll see.
And then sunshine.
They get slugged by the Falcons on Sunday night. Everything will change. It is based on what you do. That is sometimes I try to tell people. It's not based on what you think they're going to do. It's based on what they do. And if you thought one thing going in and they do the opposite, then the judgment changes. It's like, it always does. The picture changes. So But I think this one, I was just watching that game and I was impressed by a lot of things about the Falcons in that game against Buffalo. But I was kept thinking it's going to be a short week long flight. And this does not feel like a team that is built to really survive that sort of thing. The teams that survive that sort of thing are those Harbaugh 49ers, right? The tough, grinded out. Now, run the ball, yes, that travels, but the defense is what I'm really thinking about. And I think there's going to be some chances for the 49ers offense on Sunday night. And, hey, Mac Jones, go take it. All right, Barros, that's all I got.
Good week to score 30 points for the first time.
Yeah, what did they score, 26 maybe once? Maybe that's been it, maybe 24?
Yeah.
They're averaging 20. I know that, like 20.8. Not a super fire.
That's kind of winning, yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of firepower on this offense. But maybe McCaffrey changes that. Well, they could use 100, two touchdown, 135-yard game from just running the ball for Christian McCaffrey. We shall see if that's in the offense. All right, Barros, show for today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.